भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 10, Prahlad, the best among exalted devotees, text number 49. Sava ayam brahma mahad vimrigya kaivalya nirvana sukhanubhuti Priya suhridva kalumatuleya Atmar haniyo vidhikrit guruscha The impersonal Brahman is Krishna himself because Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. He is the origin of the transcendental bliss sought by great saintly persons, yet he, the Supreme Person, is your most dear friend and constant well-wisher and is intimately related to you as the son of your maternal uncle. Indeed, he is always like your body and soul. He is worshipable, yet he acts as your servant and sometimes as your spiritual master. Srila Prabhupada's purport. There is always a difference of opinion about the absolute truth. One class of transcendentalists concludes that the absolute truth is impersonal, and another class concludes that the absolute truth is a person. In Bhagavad Gita, the absolute truth is accepted as the Supreme Person. Indeed, that Supreme Person himself, Lord Krishna, instructs us in Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi pratishta aham, mattak parataram nanyat. The impersonal Brahman is my partial manifestation, and there is no truth superior to me. That same Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acted as the supreme friend and relative of the Pandavas, and sometimes he even acted as their servant by carrying a letter from the Pandavas to Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. Because Krishna was the well-wisher of the Pandavas, he also acted as guru by becoming the spiritual master of Arjuna. Arjuna accepted Krishna as his spiritual master. Shishyas tehang sadhimam tam papamnam. And Krishna sometimes chastised him. For example, the Lord said, Ashochanan vashochastvang pragyavadangscha bhashase. While speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. The Lord also said, Kutastva kashmalamidam vishame samupastitam. My dear Arjuna, how have these impurities come upon you? Such was the intimate relationship between the Pandavas and Krishna. In the same way, a pure devotee of the Lord is always with Krishna through thick and thin. His way of life is Krishna. This is the statement of the authority, Sri Narada Muni. Translation. In the beginning of this canto, Yudhishthira Maharaj was curious to know how it is that Krishna favors the devas, because after all, he's impartial. He's a neutral witness to the events that are going on in the material world. He has no particular interest in the material energy and its operation. At least this is commonly understood, that he's neutral. But although Krishna is neutral in relationship to the operation of the modes of material nature, he's not actually neutral in relationship to the creation of the material cosmos. The cosmos is created by him for a purpose, for a very important purpose. Maharaj. This is his instrument, the material world. Actually, it's his expansion of his energy. And it has a function, the function being to offer the opportunity to the jivas to return to him. So it operates, actually, although the operation of the three modes of material nature are automatic and working according to higher laws, but those higher laws are dictated by the Supreme Lord, and they are meant to facilitate the elevation of the jivas to the point where they are ready to hear the transcendental message that Krishna delivers and Krishna's devotees deliver. So Narada Muni is being cited here at the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira, that Maharaj Parikshit has asked the question of Shukadeva Goswami, how is it that it appears that Krishna is partial? He's always coming to save Indra from difficulties and in the process putting the asuras into difficulty. And then Narada Muni, Shukadeva Goswami cites the conversation between Narada Muni and King Yudhishthira, which took place at the Rajasuya sacrifice that Yudhishthira Maharaj performed after Jarasandha was defeated by Bhimadev, and it was acknowledged that Yudhishthira was the emperor of the world. So at that ceremony, the Rajasuya sacrifice, Shishupal got up in the middle of everything and started objecting, because Krishna was selected as the supreme person at the sacrifice and to be worshipped by all. And Shishupal, who was actually Krishna's cousin by family arrangement, couldn't tolerate. He had, from birth, he was the enemy of Krishna. Of course, Shishupal was the incarnation of Jai or Vijay, the servants of Krishna who were cursed by the four Kumaras to come to the material world for three births as asuras. So Shishupal was playing the role that was designated for him because of the curse of the Kumaras, and he was just going on and on, finding all these faults with Krishna. And of course, Krishna was requested by Shishupal's mother to tolerate all the offenses, and Krishna had agreed, but there was some limit when the offenses reached a certain point, 100. Then he was going to stop tolerating. Anyway, Shishupal was vanquished by the Sudarshan disc by Krishna's direction. And in the presence of all the assembled kings and devas and rishis, everybody who was there at the Rajasuya sacrifice, Shishupal's spiritual essence left his body, and in the presence of everyone, everyone could see, merged into the body of Krishna. So Narada Muni was asked by Maharaj Yudhishthira, how is this possible? And Narada then recites the story of Prahlad Maharaj and the appearance of Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, and the way that they were vanquished by the Lord. So now we see that Krishna has a purpose in creating the material world and a purpose in appearing within the material world. And that is to show his relationships with his devotees. Because he doesn't just leave the material world. There are some who say that God has created the material world and he just remains aloof, has nothing to do with it. Just goes on and on and on and on forever. But this is not the case. His creation of the material world is for this purpose, to show us his relationships with his devotees, to attract us to become his devotees. So we have seen the relationship between Prahlad and the Lord. So beautiful, so beautiful. Of course, the devas are all there. Brahma is there, Indra is there, Lord Shiva, and Narada Muni, so many great rishis are also there. And they've all offered prayers to the Lord after Nrisingadev was torn apart. And nice prayers. But Prahlad is being spotlighted here by the mercy of Lord Nrisingadev. Young boy, 5 years old. And after the devas have offered all their prayers, and Nrisingadev still has his ferocious attitude. Ferocious. Nrisingadev is so... There's no competition there, obviously. Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that the devas were afraid of him. Even Brahma was intimidated. But Nrisingadev, like, you know, as if Hiranyakashipu were just an insect, he ripped him apart. No comparison. Krishna is so powerful. So everybody wants, of course, after seeing this display of his power, everybody wants his affection, his mercy. But somehow he's withholding his mercy from everyone for the moment. And then finally Brahma says, Prahlad, the Lord came because of your father. You better do something. So Prahlad went forward very humbly and meekly and offered his obeisances to Lord Nrisingadev. And when the Lord saw Prahlad, his whole visage changed and he became loving and compassionate, and he placed his hand on Prahlad's head and he showed to everyone present what it can be like to have him as Lord and Master and friend. And of course, it attracted the minds and hearts of everyone present to see this relationship between Lord Nrisingadev and Prahlad Maharaj. So here, after Narada Muni has described this, Prabhupada explains that Yudhishthira Maharaj might have been feeling very unqualified, but Narada Muni wants to encourage him because Yudhishthira Maharaj is also very dear to the Lord, as Prahlad, and all of Yudhishthira's family, such that Krishna accepted them as his cousins, brothers. And when they would meet, Krishna would bow down to Maharaj Yudhishthira. Of course, this was undoubtedly embarrassing for Maharaj Yudhishthira, but he was his elder cousin, and it was the natural family relationship. In other words, Krishna, when he appears on the earth, especially in the form of Krishna, he acts just like a human being. And this is for various reasons, one reason being to set an example for human beings how to behave, but also because this is what Krishna wants. Krishna wants to have a relationship with his devotees on this level, because in the human form and in the human dealings, there are very intimate exchanges. Friend and friend, parent and child, lover and beloved, husband and wife. And these relationships are considered superior to relationship of servant and master. Although we all begin from the point of servant and master in approaching the Supreme Lord in our practice of Vaidhi Bhakti. But as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we are learning also about Raganuga Bhakti, which is sometimes mixed and sometimes pure with the Vaidhi Bhakti, mixed with Vaidhi Bhakti, and sometimes without. In the case of the Pandavas, there's some mixture of Vaidhi Bhakti, as we see on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, when Krishna shows Arjuna his universal form. Arjuna becomes awestruck and fearful, and he apologizes to Krishna. He said, "My Lord, I have sometimes addressed you as my friend and treated you as an equal, sitting on the same couch together and talking in intimate ways, joking and laughing. But here I see that you are, the whole cosmos is within you and is you. And please forgive me for my offenses." Whereas on the other hand, Mother Yashoda also saw Krishna's universal form within his mouth. And she saw herself, and she saw Krishna sitting on her lap, but she didn't apologize. She said, "I don't know what this is. Maybe my son has some mystic powers or something." But she continued, because her affection as mother was strong, so strong that it superseded this vision of the universal form that Krishna gave her. She could not stop thinking of Krishna as her mother, as his mother. So, in this case, we're seeing, though, the relationship of the Lord with the Pandavas. And Narada Muni, such an incredible devotee, who knows so perfectly how to respect all of Krishna's other devotees. Although he himself is worshipable by everyone, but he's always seeking to glorify Krishna's devotees. In this case, of course, he's glorifying Prahlad, and now he's turning to Yudhishthira Maharaj and the Pandavas who are sitting there with him at the Rajasuya sacrifice. And in front of all the assembled rishis and devas, he's now describing the glories of the Pandavas, which is at least equal to the glory of Prahlad Maharaj. Because Krishna used to visit them in their home as if he were their cousin. And because of that, all the sages and saintly persons used to also come to Yudhishthira Maharaj's home, recognizing that if Krishna goes there, it must be a special place. And Krishna, he became Arjuna's chariot driver on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and in other occasions as well. And when necessary, he became their messenger. Before the battle of Kurukshetra, all efforts were made to prevent the battle from happening. Maharaj Yudhishthira did not want to fight. And Krishna was his assistant. He went with a message to the court of Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra to convince them by good arguments and by appeal, please, let's cease with the hostilities and live side by side in peace. So he was willing to be the messenger. Of course, Duryodhana was such a fool that he wouldn't agree. And then when the battle took place and Arjuna became bewildered, Krishna became his guru. Krishna will do anything for the Pandavas. Messenger, guru, friend, cousin. He offers his obeisances to Bhima and Yudhishthira. Jokes and embraces, everything. As if he were a human being. As if he were one of them. And in Vrindavana, when Krishna stays there, it's the same. He's the son of Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj, just like an ordinary human being. He cries when Mother Yashoda punishes him. He runs away from her in fear when she comes after him. He becomes angry when she puts him down in order to stop the milk from boiling over on the stove. He plays with his friends in the forest, joking and competing with them in mock fights. Sometimes his team wins, sometimes his team loses. He has to carry them on his shoulders. And with the girls, the young girls, he dances with them and has all kinds of intrigues with them. Just like a young boy in a village, some cowherd village. But just like, and also not just like, because he does things in the course of his ordinary activities which are superhuman, which nobody else could do, like lifting Govardhan Hill. Nobody can imitate Krishna. So therefore, he shows these superhuman acts as well, so that people will be advised, don't become fooled by the imitators, because there are always imitators. In the material world, we are all imitators of Krishna, actually. This is our disease. We want to enjoy with our friends and our family and lovers and etc. We imagine ourselves, because of illusion, Maya's influence, we imagine ourselves as being very important as the center of everything. And this has to be so. If we don't put Krishna in the center, then we fill the vacancy. We are in the center, even if we have close relations, family and friends. But we, at least within our hearts, are the center of all that. And we want to enjoy all that. We have our pastimes. And those pastimes are foolish. Because we are in illusion about ourselves being the center. Krishna is the center. And that's what we are doing here. We are trying to acknowledge and put Krishna in the center. When we dance, we are dancing for Krishna, not to put ourselves in the center. But we're putting Krishna in the center. We're putting our attention on him, and glorifying him, listening to his names. We want to bring him. We can't bring him by force, but by our humility, our submissiveness, our willingness to accept him as the Supreme Being, then he responds. He wants to. That's the whole point here of this material creation. He wants to respond to us. He wants to have a relationship with us, each one of us, individual, special, and perfect. That's his power as the Supreme Being. We can have a relationship with a few other people, but Krishna has a relationship with everyone at every minute. And he wants, this is something mysterious about the Supreme Lord, although he's the Supreme Being, completely self-satisfied, he doesn't need anything from any of us. He wants a relationship with each of us. He wants. Now it's just up to us to also want. No more independence, in other words. We are attached to our independence. We are attached to our doing things on our own. We are attached to our own pastimes. Since time immemorial, we've been having ourselves in the center and trying to establish some kind of universe, personal universe, with a circle of friends, family, and so on. But we are now fortunate enough to have the association with Krishna's pure devotees who are teaching us to get out of the center so Krishna can be there. Or in other words, to place Krishna there or to prepare so that Krishna will come and sit there and so that that relationship that he wants with us can manifest. He wants nothing else than that. He doesn't want to punish anyone. The material world is a kind of punishing place, like a prison house. And we become punished. That is Krishna's way of doing things. We can challenge, why are you doing this, Krishna? Why, if I don't serve you, are you making me suffer? That's something that we all have to go through, I think. At least I've had to go through. That kind of challenging. Krishna, why must I suffer if I don't serve you? What is the point? But gradually we come to understand that it's like a mother punishing her son for some misbehavior. She knows what's good for him. He doesn't. He wants to be mischievous, but by being mischievous, he could hurt himself and others. So she teaches him by a little punishment. And when we come to understand that very clearly, that Krishna wants nothing else than to have this personal, loving exchange with us, as he has with the Pandavas, or Prahlad, or we have choice, actually. We can have different kinds of relationship with him. When we understand that there's nothing This is it. Directly or indirectly, we all have a relationship with Krishna, and he's with us all the time, guiding us through according to our desires, all of our experiences. So when we have recognized that what he really wants is not just to be our order supplier, guiding us through whatever material experiences we desire, but he wants us to turn our desire at him and desire to have a relationship with him. And when we accept that fully, then this experience of material existence, which has been quite painful for most of us, becomes understood and becomes transcended. In Kapiladeva's teachings, he describes that when the devotee finally becomes attached to the Lord and sees the Lord's smile, his beneficent smile, then it just destroys the mountains of painful experiences that the devotee has had to come to through to get to that point. Then misgivings, doubts are finished, are cleared. And Krishna wants us to come to that point, and he's helping us, he's guiding us, each one individually, towards his lotus feet, so that we can have that relationship, and he can give us his embrace and treat us as friends, or depending on how we would like to see him, how we would like to relate with him. So Narada Muni is such a friend to everyone that he knows, and therefore he appears so often in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam and other transcendental literatures as he glorifies Krishna's devotees and attracts us to follow in their footsteps. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Okay. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.